You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
You're listening to the award-winning podcast, The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, featuring business experts, industry disruptors, game changers, and thought leaders to help you navigate a constantly changing marketplace. Want to build a successful business and become known as an influential voice in your industry? The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show will show you how. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
Welcome to another episode of the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show. This is episode 221, and I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. My guest today says, fail early to succeed big when you launch. And joining me on today's show is Patrick Caldrum. He founded Crowdco 8 years ago, the world's first crowdfunding agency. Since then, he has tested and improved some very successful marketing strategists that Crowdco has used to help over 300 startups to get funded. And on today's show, Patrick's going to share what you need to succeed when launching a crowdfunding campaign, tools that will help you grow your mailing list, as well as how to define your target audience and start your crowdfunding marketing strategy. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure. It is my pleasure because, as I mentioned before we pressed record, crowdfunding is not something that we've really spoken about much on the show. I did go to last year to a workshop where someone used crowdfunding to fund money so that she could create a television series. And there's some great stuff going on here. So we're really tapping into your expertise. Just give me a bit of an idea on what prompted you to create 8 years ago Crowdco, the world's first crowdfunding agency. I love speaking to people who are doing things first. What gave you the idea to start this? Was it something that had been bubbling along in your mind for a while, or how did it happen? Take us back on that journey.
Sure. We're before I actually got into crowdfunding, I was actually head of a film studio, and I was in charge of the film marketing.
Yeah.
Specifically into the digital marketing. So I had been exploring different ways of tracking direct the ROI, the magic ROI, which in social media, it's really hard to really gauge, you know, if there's something that's instantly hitting and it's working. So when I got into I got actually invited by a company from Australia, actually. It was a startup, and they had just launched a Kickstarter campaign. It was the toy was called the AppTag Laser Blaster, which is basically like a Nerf gun, but you put your phone on top of it, and you were able to play virtual reality Nerf gun.
Wow!
So it was a pretty cool toy, and that was kind of my introduction into the Kickstarter and the crowdfunding space.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about it was the fact that I was able to really measure what I was doing in the promotion side and the PR and the social media, and I was seeing direct results with people's responses to what we were doing, because people would go to Kickstarter after we posted something, or we were able to get a story featured on Mashable, and all of a sudden you started to see people, pledging for that particular project.
Yeah.
So it was very, it was the first time that I actually got to see a quick instant result. And back then, crowdfunding was just barely getting started. I mean, the whole crowdfunding space has evolved into a much bigger, much more complex universe than what it was, 8 years ago.
Yeah. It's incredible. I love that story. Thank you. I mean, and congratulations too. I think how often does someone recognize, through their experiences, recognize some great opportunities, but just sit on them and, someone else has probably built it already, whatever, but you took the initiative and you've actually gone and developed this. So that's fantastic. And also too, when you think of crowdfunding, absolutely the campaigns that you hear, and I'm sure you'll be sharing some of those success stories here through clients you've worked with, to think that when you get a theme, a story, and you tap into people's emotions and that they've got similar values and things that they care about, incredible that you can get this community to get behind this idea and really support that, not only in kind, but with money. It really is incredible. So let's dive in. What are some of the things that we need to do and have in place to succeed when launching a crowdfunding campaign? Because I'm sure there are many people who have launched a crowdfunding campaign yet didn't quite achieve the goals they wanted, and probably because they were lacking some of the things you're going to share with us today, yes?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, the biggest piece of the puzzle is when you want to launch a campaign and you want to be successful, a lot of people think that just by going on Kickstarter and having a really cool page is all you need to make it, you know, to make a killing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more work that happens prior to the launch of the campaign. And it goes from the very beginning, from understanding what your product, what is the real value that your product is going to do, what are the benefits that it will give, you know, your potential customers. Who is your potential customer and how to get to those potential customers, and how do you get those customers to come on the first day of your campaign? So all those questions need to be answered in a way that you will have enough time to build a very strong strategy that will get you on day one of your launch. You'll be like around 30 to maybe even 100% funded. And then based on that formula, you will be able to really maximize the rest of your campaign after that. So every week you want to be pushing press, you want to be pushing all your friends, your email marketing, you want to be optimizing your emails, you want to be adding value to the backers that are already coming. If there's ways for you to upsell any of the incentives that you've already done, even better. So
let's unpack some of that, because we'll get into some of those step by steps that will be very handy. So one of the things that you're saying, you really need to understand your ideal customer, what's the value, what's the outcome, and really tap into that, which is very important. And I'd imagine that that is in the case, say, of organizations that want to build a product. In fact, one of my colleagues that I attend a networking event, she wanted to crowdfund, and I don't know what platform that she used, may have been Kickstarter, I think, development of a journal that businesses could use. She developed her own one with all of the things that she could see was lacking in other journals, put all that in, and she wanted to crowdfund the manufacturer of that. So that's a product. So obviously she would tap into her ideal client, who are other customers, businesses who feel that current market, you know, current markets are offered, you know, journals are just not providing a value. But what in the instance of, say, an organization that may be crowdfunding to support for a child or for someone who needs an operation or something like that, because there's not a physical product then that the customers, the consumers can walk away with. It's more of the story. In that instance, are there some strategies that you can share to help them when they're putting a crowdfunding campaign together?
Sure. Well, I've never worked on a health-related crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah.
But the formulas are very similar, where you basically want to make sure that you communicate your clear intention in the very beginning.
You
create that connection. So creating the what, the why, and the how is basically the way that you want to make this work and make it, you know, compelling enough, easy to understand, and with a straight call to action. So if I am raising funds for a relative who is suffering from something that needs to, you know, it's going to be very expensive. There's a lot of medical bills. You know, we basically want to create different tiers that will be, you know, available for anybody who might have, you know, only $5 to pledge to maybe your rich uncle who has $1,000. So you want to make sure that you create all those different levels in order to accommodate and, you know, make the most of it. Then definitely I would also tie into the emotional plea. If people can't give you money, they can still share your project.
Yes.
So having sharing tools that will get the word out, that will make it easier for them to understand, would be key. So when there's a really good tool that we use a lot, which is called Gleam. It's actually an Australian startup, Gleam.io.
Yes.
And they use they have some really amazing pre-launch marketing tools that a lot of people can use, as well as during the live campaign. You can actually connect your Indiegogo or your Kickstarter and promote it through there, get people to refer, and they earn points, you know. So there's different assets that you could probably use for that.
Yeah. So, and as you're talking, I'm kind of mapping it out. So what I'm going to do, because for people that are, it's new, is kind of map that out too, and then you can fill in the gaps. So obviously what you're saying, you really need to get clear on your why. What's the objective? What are people contributing to? What's the outcome for them? And that story and, tapping into the emotions of people, I think is very important. I'd imagine that as we're setting that up, the verbiage, so the communications, the writing, that needs to tell that story, very emotional aspects, or tapping into the emotions. I would imagine images are very important as well. Maybe a mock-up of the final, in the case of my colleague with the journal, she had images of journals that she had mocked up already. In the case of if it's contributing to a person, say, who needs an operation, maybe some shots of them telling a story. It's all about telling stories, isn't it? What can we integrate that will tell that story, whether it be through visual or actual words? Yes.
Yeah, you definitely want to find that connection. Mm. So the connection between your backers and your project or your story.
Yes.
And how, you know, how are they going to be part of it? You know, what sort of benefits they'll be able to get?
Yeah. And then, of course, it's just like what you're talking around, you know, your ideal client. You've got to understand that there's going to be a demographic of the market, maybe people who have experienced it, they've lived it because they've gone through it themselves, or they have relatives. But it really is tapping into that emotion of the heartstrings and people who want to support that. Then you've spoken about the tiers. So there's obviously various tiers, just to explain to people. You might have $5 contribution right up to whatever. Is there too many tiers? Because in business, we say give people too many options and they're going to get overwhelmed and they'll do nothing. Is there a good number of tiers to have?
Well, I guess it really depends to the type of project or product that you're launching. So if it's going to be, for example, video games or movies, you could have, you know, many, many tiers, because you could be offering so many different things that people are going to want to get. Yeah. So it could be like a script or DVD. But if you're talking of a smartphone, iPhone case, you know, then you maybe just want to stick to the iPhone case and do bundle packages.
Yeah.
You know, but our focus is trying to be on the product.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of campaigns that focus on having a t-shirt and then adding something of value. So it could also be a product that actually adds more value. So you could get like a, you know, a beach bag with a towel, and you could get the towel and the beach bag for, you know, X amount of money, and it's going to be still cheaper than. So you really have to do a lot of the market research before you launch the campaign to understand what's going to work better.
Yeah. And what's valuable? What would prompt your audience to go, wow, I want to go for the big tier because I'm going to get my photograph with so-and-so who's going to, you know, whatever it is, and that's going to prompt the contribution and participating in that, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Talk about then, so we've got the tiers, we've obviously got a really good story, we've got creatives, the visual elements and the words that are really telling that story, and it's clear, concise. Then you've shared, you said something that what you want to do is to have regular ways to touch base, to get that message out in front of people. What are some strategies that you've seen done really well? Because one of the things that you don't want to do is seem like you're pushing this idea, please come and fund this, give money to this, that kind of thing. How can we do that more creatively that is going to get in front of people and prompt their contribution or prompt their sharing without being annoying, if that makes sense? What strategies have you seen work really well?
I think the biggest thing is if, you know, your campaign is going to take 30 days to raise those funds.
Yeah.
Throughout that time, what you want to do is you want to keep, you know, educating people about the product, giving them insights in terms of how it works. So maybe you could do on Kickstarter, you could do a live feed, a live video feed, and ask Q&As. Mm-hmm. So you can go and do a demo. We did this for a 3D printer that we actually got. The campaign got funded in the first 4 hours of the campaign.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted to make different strategies to help them, you know, continue to grow and really scale. And so one of the things was doing a live demo of the 3D printer. So people got to see and got to ask questions and, oh, what is the type of, you know, how do we put this the filaments inside, and you know, how do you clean it? So people really got engaged into the story, and they get more engaged in the product. And all of a sudden, you have some friend of him who was watching the video comes in and pledges. So
yes.
You know, making them really be part of the product,
mm-hmm.
and the campaign is key.
Yeah.
So
people love that, don't they? And doing lives and things like that, taking them on the journey, the behind the scenes. How can you use it? And I think when someone, we're talking about a product, because they can't touch it, feel it, use it, by demonstrating and being able to Q&A, particularly on a Facebook platform where many people can continue to share, like, and so forth, you've got the opportunity that your content that you're sharing gets shared by other people, you know, like-minded people. So that works really well. So live demonstrations, educate, really important, give some insight. So if you were doing, say, a 30-day campaign, would you be looking at creating some form of content every single day, or is that too much? Every second day? What kind of timing do you say is beneficial?
Yeah, I usually keep it at every 2 days.
Yep.
You know, we really don't want to be oversaturating the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say probably every 2 days. And, you know, if there's something, there's very, you know, some huge news that you guys just came out on CNN and, or, you know, watch us tonight on the local news.
Yes.
So, you know, there's always going to be those sporadic moments that you just want to come in and share.
Yeah.
I think it really comes down to your energy, because
yeah.
You're also the founder. You're behind
and
this
creativity.
Product.
What ideas?
Yeah.
What can you do differently? Like, I can imagine if you somehow you try and get your people involved, and somehow if one of the things is if you also do this, like if you've got a book or something, or you send something out and someone takes a photo of it and they share it, and then through them doing that, you give them something else that. People, you know, if you can contribute their sharing, or somehow not contribute, harness that sharing and that content that other people will share on your behalf, that's third-party validation. And it
yes.
just goes to show, if you're creating a campaign, not only do you have to know the why, you know, tap in, get that message, the creative elements around that's so important, but map out, what can we do that's different? Can we tap into conversations that are already going on that will allow us to take that momentum that's already being built, and then that momentum kind of catapults our message out there as well. Have you seen crowd, because I'm now doing brainstorming, you know, ideas. Have you seen crowdfunded campaigns work really well, where perhaps there's a complementary crowdfunding campaign that they've somehow worked together, and through the momentum that they're building, they've really catapulted their exposure?
Well, that's called cross-promotional, and
ah.
it does happen a lot.
Yeah.
During the between campaigns, you know, we've had several campaigns that have done well over $400,000.
Wow!
Where we were able to, you know, partner with other campaigns that had similar products
mm-hmm.
that had added value to what our backers were going into,
yeah.
And the cross promotionals really helped, because we were able to get in front of other backers from
yeah.
other campaigns and bring them over to our campaign.
Yes,
and. You know, that also is that's an update by itself. So
yeah.
you can
oh,
share
absolutely.
Like
yeah.
you know, like projects we love for this week, you
mm-hmm.
know, and then share their campaigns, and they'll do the same in return.
Yeah. And then just like even a thank you, like you can share the image, but because your image has somehow got your brand name or whatever attached to it, hey, a shout out, thank you so much for supporting us, blah, 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 blah. But in the same time, you're still getting that message out there, and I can see that can continue to build momentum. And often it's really hard if you're doing things on your own, if you can leverage and unite, and we mentioned this on the previous interview that we did, that the collaboration is the new, you know, the new competitiveness. So you can imagine
mm-hmm.
if you've got in your planning, you've identified, and I'm sure working with someone such as yourself, you're working with clients all the time in this, if you can see a natural fit and an extension to partner with other people in this, everybody wins, you know, through that collaboration. Let's talk about some of the tools that will help people grow their mailing list. I mean, we've heard it for many, many decades that it's in the mailing list. But in this instance, it can be quite difficult to get someone's email address, or maybe not. Maybe there's some great tools that you're leveraging with your clients.
So one of them I just mentioned, which was a Gleam.
Yep.
Gleam.io.
Is that Gleam.io?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It allows you to create contests or giveaways where you create, there's different points for every action that you take. And you can take multiple actions to enter the campaign, to enter the contest. So, for example, we're giving away a speaker that is going to be the speaker that we're going to be launching on Kickstarter in a month from now. And in order to enter this contest, you have to share our website or share our link, refer X amount of friends, and you earn 5 points. Tweet about us, and we have all these messages are auto-populated, so they'll have a link to our website, and that way you create, you know, a lot of growth. But it also brings back more people, so people will have to sign up. They have to enter their email.
Yes.
So that is a very quick way, and then, you know, you just have to figure out where your niche audience is.
Yeah.
So if you understand where your audience is going to, you might find that there's a blog that is doing a contest, and then, you know, you can give them that, or they like to share contests. So then they can share your contest, and then, you know, you're creating a really targeted audience from that.
Yes.
So that is something that you could be doing on a daily basis. It keeps growing and growing. You know, we've had some campaigns that have gotten well over 4,000 entries. Some of them actually, you know, there's a few case studies that some big campaigns were able to leverage this and raise over $1 million just by doing a contest that only cost them, you know, a fraction of that.
Wow. Something that I want to mention that you said, and before people start to go off and go, wow, we're going to run a contest kind of thing, what was key was you said look for websites or some other businesses who have your ideal clients there. Because sometimes what I've heard in the past, where people have run competitions, people wanted to participate because, yeah, maybe there was an iPad or something like that, but they didn't really spend time in who was our ideal client or who was our ideal audience member, where are they hanging out, go and tap into that community then. Because if you're then, you know, compiling 4,000 emails, which is a lot of great number of emails, but if those people aren't your ideal clients, then there's no point in, you know, you really haven't won anything. So that's key, and I wanted to mention that, Patrick, because sometimes businesses they forget that part, and then unfortunately
it's the crucial tiny detail.
Tiny but massive.
It's definitely one of the important things, which is, you know, takes us to the defining your audience. How do you define your audience? Which is also another tool to allow you to grow your email list. So, you know, by testing out early, going in on social media, you want to make sure that you can find similar campaigns, maybe on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, that are similar to yours. Understand what they did. Who their audience was. They might have Instagram accounts. They might have Twitter accounts. You can follow those Instagram accounts and then see what type of followers they have. And eventually you're going to start to grow an audience that is going to be the lookalike audience to those campaigns, which will get you a very specific audience that is similar to yours. And, you know, in a few weeks later, you'll go to your insights and you'll be able to see more or less what your demographics are based on that. You know, the other one is obviously Facebook. We do a lot of Facebook A/B testing. With lead generation. It's a great tool that Facebook just opened a few, you know, recently. And that one has been pretty good for a lot of Kickstarter campaigns. You know, we just finished working on one that raised over 100,000, and 30% of the funds came from Facebook leads. So, you know, with that, there is a budget that you need to spend for ads, but if you know how to use the ads, you can really optimize those emails and really make sure that you do a great job
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when any business is looking at this, they're raising funds for whatever, say product development. And if they're really, as you said, spend time in defining who their ideal clients are and the audience, and we're really talking demographics as well as psychographics, which is around the emotions, tapping into, you know, what keeps them up at night, what are their core values, what's going to spark action to support that. That's all very, very important. But if you map that out and you're compiling names and email addresses, which having someone's email address is absolute gold. We need to look after that, of course. But you imagine you look, have foresight into the future. That name and of that person, well, Elizabeth is a person, could be an advocate. It could be someone who, now that they've been introduced to your business, can continue the journey, and there may be other products or there may be whatever. So when you map that out in the long term, whilst you're investing at the beginning for Facebook ads and what have you, investing in experts such as yourself, I think when we think long term, we can see the benefit and how we're going to leverage that, the relationships with other organizations that we now can partner with, and all of that, I think, can have really long-term benefits when you strategize, you have a plan in place, and you know how you're going to leverage that once the campaign is finished. Is that what you're seeing with your clients as well?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, we've been lucky to work with some very incredible startups. A few of them have, one of them was recently acquired by Bose.
Oh, you know, really? The headphones?
Yes, they had Hush Smart Earplugs. It was the name of the Kickstarter campaign. Oh. And then Bose bought them, and now they're called Hush Bose or Sleep Earplugs. I forgot the name. Yes, and then you know, we had another one that was called the X Plus One, which was the fastest drone, quadcopter drone. Mm-hmm. They eventually got funded on Kickstarter with our support, and then a year later went to Shark Tank and got funded by the Five Sharks.
Yes.
And it was a pretty big one. So, you know, we've seen a lot of that initial push and momentum from the Kickstarter community, and how they were able to push forward after and grow, you know, their future fundraisers, grow their brand, grow the validation they needed to get to a whole new place. But I agree with you. I think the initial people, those emails that you say, will allow you to either, you know, take your product to the next level, or continue using Kickstarter as a serial Kickstarter, and, you know, grow the value of backers. Because if you also think about it, your first campaign could lead to many more campaigns, successful campaigns, if you keep your customers happy, people are happy with the product, they'll leave you some amazing reviews and testimonials.
Yes.
And you can use that for your next campaigns.
Yeah.
So
I don't think people realize the that name, that email address has been given to you because someone has contributed, and often their money. If someone's given you money, no matter what it is, they've parted with their hard-earned dollar. So there's a level of trust within that relationship with that your organization that is valuable. And I think when they're interested in you, you know, in your story, and as we know online, for our businesses to create a community who will support us and then support us in giving money, I think is really valuable. So organizations certainly need to see how we're going to continue to leverage these relationships and build these relationships, because that's what it's all about, for sure. So if you're thinking then of these campaigns that you are running, are there, let's, before we finish up on the show, and of course we've only touched the surface, I'm sure, what would be, first of all, I want to say one thing. You said, and we said at the beginning of the show, this is one of your quotes, fail early to succeed big when you launch. Fail early so that you can succeed big when you launch. I think this is a great reminder, and just to reflect that when someone has gone on, you know, on any of the Kickstarter platforms, if they didn't quite get the result that they wanted. And I believe that a lot of the platforms, if you don't reach your target, then the money is gone back to the contributors. You don't actually get anything. Now, that could be seen as failure. And look, no one wants to kind of fail, for sure. But I think when we're looking at businesses today that they want to develop a product, or even a service, maybe there's something that you want to provide, you need some funding to help you. This is great feedback from your ideal clients, your ideal audience, that are saying you haven't quite yet got your message right. So I just want to share that with people, that if that has happened to them, look, celebrate it, because now you know that that language that you use, the graphics and what have you, just wasn't tapping into that audience. Go back to the drawing board, reach out to Patrick, and we'll share how you can get in contact with him. Because the next time, if you have a really successful campaign and you've got people sharing, liking, contributing, all of that, you know you've got a pretty good product in mind, don't you? You can. Do you find that with the people that you've worked with?
I can tell you that two of our largest crowdfunding successes have been failures the first time around. And we didn't get funded the first time. We saw that there was a huge potential from the product side. We had already accumulated over 30% of backers. Mm-hmm. That gave us an idea that, you know, if we have this many backers, even though we didn't make it, we still have access to them. So we went back, we modified some things that we realized that were not working the first time around. Mm-hmm. We changed the video, some sections, and you know, we figured out that we could maybe even lower the asking funding goal. Mm. So with all of those different things, we came back, we brought the backers, we got funded in the first 48 hours, and we were like, yes, you know? So I definitely think that the failing the first time doesn't mean that you have to really keep yourself in line and understand, you know, what you have, and then see it from a different perspective, like you said.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I mean, for any business who may be self-funding the development of their product, I mean, how many businesses do you find go out of business before they've even really launched or sold their product because the market just, it wasn't there. I mean, they thought it was a good idea, but no one else did. And so, you know, being able to really tweak it to make sure that the messaging that you've got is really connecting with your ideal clients. And that's important. And you're certainly going to get that feedback to how many people contribute to that campaign. The last question that I wanted to ask, and then we'll get people, you to share how people can get in contact with you. I mean, you mentioned a 30-day campaign. I mean, I'm sure, and I think I've seen a couple of months campaign. Are there good time frames for campaigns, or does it, again, it differs?
No, it is. Statistically, it's better to launch campaign that lasts anywhere between 30 and 45 days.
Okay.
That's where your attention span. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of campaigns that do 60 or more days, and mm-hmm. they get a lot of money. But usually, you want to keep it's kind of like a TV show. You don't want to extend it and watch a 6-hour Oprah television, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. So, in the 30 to 45 days is
a good timing. Yeah. And have you had shorter campaigns too? I suppose you would have.
No, not really. The shortest campaign is we've kept it at 30.
30. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah. So even if someone is doing a campaign for the first time, a 30-day time frame is a really good place to start.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, we promised to share with people how they can get in contact with you, Patrick. What's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. So the best way to do it is by going to our website, which is crowdco.co. Mm-hmm. And they have ways to book a free consultation with us. Our emails, our Instagram, our phone numbers are there. So we are more than happy to meet and talk with, you know, entrepreneurs, and questions. We'll answer anything they have.
Fantastic. So, one thing, that's what I was going to ask you. What is the weirdest crowdfunding campaign that you've done for, like the most weirdest product or service or whatever that you guys have helped?
Well, we have a campaign right now, which is live, which is actually a pretty funny, interesting campaign, which is called the Buttress Pillow. And it's actually a natural latex pillow in mm-hmm. the shape of a butt,
Oh, really?
So it even comes with a with some boxers that you can put in.
Wow. Yes.
It
Like a
already got
pillow
funded.
slip.
Yeah, like a pillow slip, and you could choose so that one is a pretty interesting one.
Wow. And do you get different size butt pillows? Because butts come in all different shapes and
Yeah,
sizes.
I think that might be the stretch goal.
That's
If they
right.
get to the
We're doing
stretch
the
goals.
small, but then we do medium and large in the hey ones. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. I think this is such a key area, and I've seen other people doing crowdfunding, and I think it's fabulous to be able to inspire a group of people from all over the world to contribute. I think is amazing. And look, thank you for sharing, and thank you for the work we do. And of course, we'll put all of the show notes, the links to connect with Patrick on the show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/AES221. We've also recorded this for those of you who are listening to the audio version. We recorded this because we did this live on Facebook as well. So go to that and link, and you'll be able, we'll embed the video version of the podcast as well. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com, changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.